Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Virus has kicked our rear end, and we underestimate this virus at our own peril. We learned that lesson. Now is not the time to slack off on what we're doing.
All right, so that's the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, and he warns just because we look like we are gaining some ground, do not think that you can go out and not practice social distancing and run around grocery stores, etc. So the key thing here is pay attention to what's being said. And, of course, New York is a hot spot. That's not a surprise. We knew it would be. In the United States, there have been 10,910 deaths and climbing, although 19,522 people have also recovered. Worldwide, 1,346,000 plus confirmed cases, death 74,679. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney, thanks so much for joining us here on the show. And I'll tell you, I went through 9/11. I did it on the air at a very popular station in New York City, and I thought I had seen nothing like it. It rocked my world and everybody's world when that happened. And this is equally as shocking and life-altering, etc. But as human beings, I think it's so important to find ways to connect and move forward. And I'm so proud of so many people who are doing that. But in the meantime, be diligent and not think, well, nothing's happening here, because you can't see it, because it doesn't feel like it's real. I think a lot of people think they are invisibly protected from this. And, of course, there are some people that are asymptomatic. There are some people that have had it and don't know they've had it. Doing the antibodies and being able to figure out who's had it and who hasn't had, it would be amazing if everybody, we could just do a test for everybody, but that's not possible and that's not happening anytime soon. What a game changer that would be. I mean, when you have grocery store workers who are beginning to die of the coronavirus, it is incredibly sad that they are frontline workers. You have EMTs, healthcare workers, all of those, and firemen, anything you can think of, and be police, that are getting, departments that are getting ravaged by coming down with the coronavirus. And again, this is the state of the nation as, you know, we know it now. And the more you practice social distancing, the more you're diligent about it, even though it seems like, well, this is ridiculous. I'm living out in a rural area. That doesn't happen now. In Iowa, they're starting to see it. I know I have friends in Iowa. They thought that they were completely safe from this, in a sense, because they're not in New York City. But that couldn't be further from the truth. That's why you have to be, I think, again, diligent and pay attention to not to be doom and gloom consistently and put yourself in a spiral of depression, but to pay attention to what's going on. Look at Louisiana, the high rate they have, the state facing a shortage of ventilators and protective equipment for healthcare workers. The breakout in New Orleans, fueled by the carnival celebration that draws a million people to the city, which is incredible, in February. But the crowded Mardi Gras, the belief is that this is part of what happened in Louisiana, which is why when you look at charts of the most deaths, Louisiana comes up number three in the nation, while New York is number one, Louisiana is number three, New Jersey's two, Michigan is four, and our friends listening in Connecticut, you're right behind Michigan. And to give you a sense of that, in New York, reported cases per 100,000 cases, deaths, 24 per 100,000 that are reported. And the number since April 5th, 14% higher. Same thing in New Jersey, 9% higher. I'm talking new deaths. So since April 5th in New York, 599. New Jersey, 86, adding to it. Louisiana, 35, plus 7%. Michigan, plus 18%, 110 new deaths as of April 5th. So it's important to remember. We go back in our minds, Washington, on this show, we have many listeners in Washington. We talked about it. The first known outbreak in the U.S., first known, began in early February. And the high number of deaths among older people, especially in the Seattle area, because that disease took hold in several King County nursing homes and facilities that care for older and sicker people. Initially, in the beginning, that's what we especially thought, that younger people really weren't getting it, and that couldn't be further from the truth, because younger people, sadly, of course, are getting it. It depends on underlying health conditions, and then there's some no rhyme or reason for why people have gotten it. And, of course, a handful of counties in southwestern Georgia have some of the highest rates of infection and deaths in the country. The governor sent the Georgia National Guard troops to help with medical care in Daugherty County, which has fewer than 100,000 people, to my point of you think you're safe when you're in a smaller place, but hundreds of cases and dozens of deaths. And you see it, you see the healthcare workers who day in and day out risk their lives, because they are, because they're there on the front lines with people who in many cases are very, very sick and end up going on respirators and end up finding themselves where they're intubated, and it could be a week. And do they survive? Do they not survive? Yes, we are in the throes of this. And won't we breathe a slight sigh of relief when we get out on the other side, even if it's temporary, and hopefully we're smarter and wiser for it. There's a lot of smart people who are working on all aspects of this virus, of this disease, of the angle of people who have it, and we can find that out of a vaccination, but we're a ways away from that, so we can wish and hope and pray, but that's not going to be the solution overnight. It's still up to all of us, and they can see the trends when people social distance, and they're not on basketball courts playing basketball, or they're not in parks gathering in large groups close together, where just one person can spread that virus. We saw that from what happened at weddings. We saw that that's what happened at dinners, where people weren't aware of that and had no clue that they would leave a dinner and they could have been the one that infected people that they care about. Many of you have that on your mind, and then also some hopeful thoughts about what you're doing during this time at home and what it's like to work from home. We're going to go to the mailbag next.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nanocolloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nanocolloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial. antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around a dollar a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen, well, hopefully not, while pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
Now let's talk about the mail. Can we talk about the mail, please, Mac? I'm dying to talk about the mail with you all day, okay?
Let's talk about the mail, man.
By the way, nightly clapaholics for all of you on the front lines. We thank you. We love you for what you've done for so many people. And in the mailbag, many people echo the same sentiment. You can let your thoughts fly anytime, day or night. Go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on contact, and there you go. I got this one from Dougie, and he says, Kate, I'll tell you what, I really got to tip my cap to the healthcare workers in the United States because they are the true heroes. I don't think we can thank them enough for the lives they are scrambling to save and the lives that have been lost that might be their own. Can you imagine working round the clock dealing with all that death in some of the worst hospitals and just wanting your patients to live and then ultimately dying yourself alone because of the severity of what's happened at the particular time that you were working and the patients that you're dealing with. Yeah, I mean, New York is the best example, I suppose, of that, but not just in New York. In the comfort, you know, the ship that's in New York, Cuomo asked the president, Governor Cuomo, asked the Prez if this could be a COVID ship, and of course he said yes. Because initially that wasn't going to be that. It was going to be for others that had to be displaced because of needing the space for the people who came down with the coronavirus. And I mean, obviously, it's got to be a war zone in so many cases. There they are on the front lines, risking their lives to save others in this fight against the coronavirus. And I'll tell you what, the healthcare workers are reading the notes that people are sending them. I think they appreciate the applause, the cars that have done the parades are sometimes around the hospital in some of the areas. We cannot thank them enough for what they've done. And when we get to a different place with this, I hope that they'll be recognized even more. And, of course, I love to see them get teared up and excited when they save a patient. And I mentioned this before, when the patient gets to walk out of the hospital and they've survived. All right, I got this one from Joe, who says, "Hi, Kate. I was wondering, you know, you talk about the economics of what's happened with the coronavirus. I work from home, so I snicker at people who have struggles working from home. Some of it's funny, and I can only imagine the boundary issue must be pretty interesting for a lot of people, and then getting used to all the calls they have to do, and some of them through Skype or Zoom or whichever way they're choosing to do that. But what industries had the most layoffs or freezes or that kind of thing for workers?" Well, the travel industry just completely cratered. Think about it. Destinations, going to attractions, hotels, travel agents, people who own travel businesses, people who have anything related to travel whatsoever. Part of my business was massively affected by that because traveling to speak. So 83%, if you look at companies in the industries, 83% in the travel industry have had to have freezes or laid off workers or any of that kind of stuff. Retail, so of course, going to malls, outdoor malls, going to stores, all of that, that entails retail, 74%. Real estate, imagine you're a real estate agent. You've turned a corner, you sold a couple of houses, the first quarter looked okay, at least the first month or two, and then poof, the bottom drops out, 70%. 64% education-wise, makes sense, same thing, because think of what now they'll have to do at schools or private schools or public schools and, you know, higher education and other areas of learning, consulting, same thing, 62%, because where you have to make cutbacks with companies. And it's I mean, across the board you're seeing it, food and beverage, over 50%, IT, over 50%, healthcare, 48%, finance, 47%. I mean, there's very few industries that haven't been touched in some way. I mean, just all of a sudden, poof, overnight, where it looked, things maybe looked good, or you had just gotten a job, or whatever it might be. Everybody has those stories. I think now, really, it is about the human element, and I've said this before, coming together, lifting people up in whatever way that is, and surviving, getting through this. That's why the constant push for the distancing and the staying at home and mentioning that we're all in it together, because I might feel okay, I might feel like I'm healthy, but I have no idea I'm a carrier and I'm around you, and who knows where that spreads to. Let's go to this one. This one, I love this one. This is from Tommy, who is listening to us. He says, in Portland, and he says, "Kate, oh my gosh, I feel so badly for you. I used to listen to you talk about your dog, and to lose your dog right during this, in the beginning of this, must have been really, really tough. And I'm wondering if you're getting involved with fostering or doing anything for shelters. I did a foster situation for golden retrievers where I live, and it was one of the most I still do it here and there. It was one of the most rewarding things I've ever done, and then got to place them with families, these amazing, amazing dogs, because I couldn't have a dog full time. I'm so glad you asked me that, because they have more people wanting to foster dogs now that across the country, you know, you have them for 4 or 5 weeks or maybe longer, and then they get placed with their, I guess, forever family, you want to call it. And I think that's happening everywhere. But shelters and rescue groups are reducing services and they're canceling fundraisers because of their staff, but they're trying to care for their animals. So there is a strain on, you know, there is a strain on the shelters. So that's the fostering the pet thing is even bigger. There's a good site I read about, the Best Friends Animal Society. They have a site you can look for an organization. So to answer your question specifically to me, yes, we signed up to foster golden retrievers, and there was one, but somebody already snapped him up. You know what his name was? His name was Waylon, and I was worried if we got Waylon, he might jump the fence, though, but somebody else got in there and fostered him, so I'm sure we will foster a dog at some point, but sure, that's something that is affected. You know, last week we had the people on that ran that great facility in Vegas with that dealt with lions, and they took 30 of them from the MGM Grand when they were basically retired. And imagine they were finally doing okay, breaking even, and then this happens. It's just like the question before about who's affected. The answer is that we're all affected. It just depends at the level that you're affected, right? So I say this, I think now is the time that you have to refocus. I would challenge people to refocus, reimagine and reinvent maybe your life or where you thought you were going to go or what you thought was going to happen retiring wise. All right, let's move to this one from Mac, who says, Kate, I thought of you because of your husband in the Navy and this acting Navy secretary. Normally, I have to tell you, I would fall on the side of the Navy secretary, but I thought it was outrageous the way he addressed the situation to the guys that were on the ship in talking about their former commander, that captain, and saying that he was naive or stupid to be in command. He shouldn't have been there. Wow. He just wasn't thinking. I don't know if he got hot under the collar or what happened, but clearly he could express himself. However, that was the wrong way to do it. When you say the wrong words, that's all people hear, especially when their captain has tried to protect them. I know because I have served in my past. Well, thank you for your service, and I agree. We are on the same page with that. Listen, the whole thing was, okay, so, you know, but then coming on the ship and then saying that, and specifically throwing those poison darts, yeah, there was another way to say that. So he did apologize, by the way, to everybody on the USS Theodore Roosevelt. I don't think we've heard the last of this controversy. All right, so I'll meet you on the other side.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit gcnlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
Wherever that monster goes, we're able to move with it. Great flexibility. We have tremendous flexibility.
President Trump at the White House daily coronavirus briefing saying ventilators and other needed supplies being sent to hotspots across the country.
And we have
people waiting, and they're ready, willing, and able, but waiting to bring them wherever it may be, if they need it, if they're needed. It's possible that they won't be needed, that we're fully stocked, because numbers are coming in where, because of what the American people are doing, we're having fewer hospital visits. I think that could be the case in New York. It could be the case in a few other states. And fewer beds, fewer hospital visits mean fewer ventilators. So we'll see whether or not our original projections were right.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995. Immediately. That's 800-605-6995. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-605-6995 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-605-6995. That's 800-605-6995. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995 for your free author submission kit.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Welcome to the show, this edition of Author's Corner, Carl Anderson. He's written a book that I think will really resonate with so many of you that are listening to the show. It's called A Mother-Father Complex. As soon as I looked at the book, I can't tell you, so many images jumped up in my head, and I know that this is doing the same thing for you, because really that's where it all starts. Carl, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Yeah, thank you, Kate.
So you have an accent, and I love your accent, so we got to tell people where you're from, and you talk to me off the air, and you're about, what, 2.5 hours outside of Copenhagen?
Yeah, Copenhagen is 2.5 hours from here, and Copenhagen is Denmark, for them who knows that, and my staff is in Sweden, so it is just a bridge. It is just a bridge between almost here and Denmark.
Yeah, and I can visualize that, that's for sure. So tell us about the book. Tell us what the basis of the book is. Give us like what we would call, and you know this as a writer, a synopsis of the book.
Yeah, I can give you that. I have actually prepared some thoughts about this really before this talk. So you can say that the basics for this writing that I have done over many years now, and also for this book, is an emergency situation where I have been really mentally ill and sick. And this is you can speak this in very economical terms, I think, like a ruin, a ruin with girlfriends, with friends, with family, with society in general also. So that's really the basic. And that brings me forth to explain things for people that I have kind of been misjudged by, maybe. I feel I have felt, and really have, then I had the need to say things in a way that can explain for them what I think about really our my life and relations that I have had. So that that's, then you can say that you come to a point where to imagine the real becomes really important. To imagine the real, and that is something that I always have done in my books. To imagine the real. That's a concept that many times can bring illusions to people. And I think that to work with illusions within reality is something that you can really feel is maybe dangerous at a personal level. But when you do it in fiction, you can have a really freedom in that. To be able to imagine something that you know is there. That is something I really like to do, always when I write.
Wow, and I love that. You painted the picture, the illusion to work within reality is really something. And so that's what readers would get a sense of in reading your book.
Yeah, I think that is at least an incentive for me to write those words I have written. That is to imagine the real, but also to work with the illusion that the real evoke when you think the real, because it does. That is really the point. It, like Kant, he says that always, that you try really to see God in on the wall in front of you, but you can never see God there. He disappears you. He loses you. You can never see that. You can never see the Father at the wall. He is, because as in Lacan's word, the Father is already dead. The sons killed him simply.
Yeah.
That is the kind of the vehicle into the realm of the illusion of the real.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought this was important. I wanted to tell people something else that you and I talked about. We share, I think, a love for Ireland, and Ireland has been kind of your muse, I think, because you went to Trinity and you wrote several books there. What is it about Ireland and writing? Because people visualize, ooh, when I write, where am I going to do it? Where do I sit? How do I do this? And I think that sort of has been your muse. Am I right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Kate. That is my saving. Ireland is my saving. That gave me a push to believe in myself. Ireland gave me a push to believe in myself. It gave me an identity that I have, that I know I am, but that my country can't give me. They give me a thinker's identity, a kind of an outside identity. That also is something that you can feel strength in when you get answer in that. When you really get answer in that and feel freedom in that, that is just strength. And then you can start to relax on things and be yourself, really. And Ireland is the country for that. That is really the country where you can be outside but still really feel free and inside with yourself. That is really this thinker's country that it is. This is a lovely place. And it's really, they lack many things in, you can say, in welfare and so on that we have here in Sweden that Sweden are so famous for. But so many qualities in this Ireland that the rest of Europe don't have, I must say.
Yeah, I'm glad we brought that up. And so again, we're speaking with Carl Anderson, and his book is A Mother-Father Complex. For somebody listening to us right now, if they read your book, and we hope they do, they read your book, what do you hope that they take away from reading your book?
Yeah, personal feeling that belonging is not just yourself. You need to feel yourself in other people. That is really, I think that is an abstract way to say it. You need to feel yourself with other people. That is really important. And other people is something that you need to relate to. You need to relate to them. You need to really listen to them, and you need to take decisions by other people's presence. And that's something that is really important in a society, that is how to listen to each other. And that is, I like to say that, Gabe, because that is really important for me in this way of writing that I do, a mother for the complex is really not about me speaking mother and father or girlfriends. It's really them speaking me. That is the key. They speak me, and I think that is maybe the key leap I have done in knowledge because of these books that I've written. That is the thing. They speak me, not I speak them.
Right, that makes sense. And as you say, it's, you know, it really, in a way, it's what we're talking about is really the conversation, is being able to have that. It's the misunderstandings that happen. And I think being misjudged, you mentioned the word misjudge, and that's such a big word. And I think a lot of people that are hearing us feel misjudged. I think a lot of people feel that. And I think that makes them go inside themselves, and it makes it really, really tough. And then they grapple with some of the mental gymnastics that you talked about, do you think?
Yeah. We are in a time where mental gymnastics is maybe one of the most. Yeah. That's a good phrase. That's mental gymnastic. Is the time.
You talked about so we talked about Ireland and the books that you've written. When you write and you finish a book, how do you feel?
Yeah. That's strange. I don't feel so much. I feel a bit maybe lonely, I think. I've had a relation with this text and this work. And I really prepare myself in advance long before I start to write. Not that I write down things. I have it in my head. I really process things in my head before I start to set the words on the screen. So that takes time for me. But then when I write, it's kind of an explosion. I write short books. It's just maybe 2,000 words, not so much more really. So that's an explosion that I just put things down. And then I feel me terribly lonely. Really. That's the point. I feel me so lonely. That's the basic feeling. That takes some time to get over this work you have done, to kind of start anew and start your personal life really. Because this is so overwhelming to live in a kind of a text that you know will be a book. It is inundating yourself in a way that you really don't know so much more around you than just that. That's a process also that you should know that a book doesn't die because you have written it finished. That doesn't die. Many times you need to process the book you have written long after, because there are many things what you have written that you really haven't understood with yourself. Really, your individual self haven't understood really what you have done. That's a process. That's really an education. This process after you have written the book, to kind of process this work and really be honest with yourself that, okay, I am not finished with this. I haven't understood this really what I have done fully. And that takes time. That really takes time. And it needs really to be developed within yourself before you can say, okay, now I have a grip on it. But it is really that. And that good literature and good art needs that opening when you do things. It can't be closed down as soon as you have done it. You need that opening that I can't grip everything here. I don't know everything I have done. And it needs to be that way. Otherwise, I don't think it's good.
Wow. That is a perfect place to end this, because it's so true. It's a living, breathing thing, and that's what your book is. And your work, all of your work is that. So pick up Carl Anderson's book, A Mother-Father Complex. You can get it on Amazon. Carl, thank you so much for joining us on Author's Corner.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dehebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dehebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veterans. Nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
And finally, to close us out tonight, Christine Cashin joins us. She's a Hall of Fame speaker, and she likes to call herself a hot mess mom. So can you imagine being a speaker and being grounded? Somebody who's used to being on and off flights, running home, checking in, hanging out with the family. They love you just enough, and then you're out of the way. But now you're in the way, I would assume. So she's in our virtual green room. Hey, Christine, how are you?
Hi. Hang in there, Kate. How are you?
So you heard my description, and I think I probably nailed it for lots of different people, but all of a sudden now you've got all this time at home. What's that been like?
Oh, my gosh. You know, you think you're a hot mess before. Now we're all a hot mess in one place, and it's such a challenge, as any woman at home now knows. If you've got kids that are trying to online school, I've got two teenagers, so it might be different than people with little kids, but they think I'm their worst nightmare because every time they turn around, I'm standing in the doorway. What are you working on? What are you doing? They're calling me the COVID creeper.
Wow, because they can't get away from you because you're right there. You're kind of like you're like the teacher's monitor times 10 since you're trying to see what they're doing.
There is no alone time because I'm so afraid that they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. When they're like, God, Holly, you can't be in every hour. What are you doing? What are you doing? They said it's just, like, so annoying, and I get it. But, you know, you want to keep up on things, and you feel like you're not doing your part, so.
And what about the, you know, a lot of parents I know, and there are a lot of people talking about this, as you mentioned, it's different school ages, but the whole online thing is tough for people. And I know in your school district, we talked off the air, and I wanted everyone in America to hear this because I think this is so cool that your school district really stepped up, because there's a lot of kids that don't have internet access and also meals, right?
Oh, yeah, our school district is amazing. We're here in Denton County in Texas, and they have taken big buses, and they've gone through the neighborhoods delivering lunches. They have drop-off of lunches. The principal, teachers, volunteers, has been amazing. And then this morning, what the teachers did at one of the local elementary schools is they did a teacher parade. All the teachers in their cars drove through the neighborhoods, honking horns with signs on their car that said, "We miss you." People were coming out of their houses so the kids could wave to the teachers and the teachers could wave to the kids. I get goosebumps just talking about it. It was very, very special.
Yeah. And, you know, we go back, which is great that they're doing that. And then we go back to what are the new joys in life. So what are your new joys or new habits? Because you must have a few new ones since you're confined to your space.
Yeah, well, definitely the new joy is wearing yoga pants every day. You know, not having to wear heels or dress up or shower for that matter. Thank God for Zoom, or else I don't think I'd get out of bed to be able to connect. But I think for a lot of us, one of the things that has really helped me, because you get so depressed, your business is evaporating and everyone's struggling. I'm like, all right, how can I connect with people? How can we make other people happy? So I did a virtual happy hour for my neighbors, where they didn't even know how to Zoom. And so I taught everyone how to Zoom, and we got on a call together and raised a glass one night. And then on a sunny day here in Texas, we had a pop-up puppy party where everybody with the friendly dogs came out, and we all stood our distance, but the dogs got to play. We got to see them, and it felt really, really good.
I love it. So there you go. There's some ideas for some of you listening out there with your neighbors to have the happy hour. And again, the benefit, the yoga pants. Of course, the other thing is for everybody listening is for most women, almost every woman in America, in some way colors her hair. So I'm saying and thinking to myself, we're going to have very strange looks when we finally emerge. Isn't this not going to be men who are going to have long hair? It's going to be women who have different color hair. I'm thinking, what do you think?
I think there's going to be a sale on hats.
Yes.
I think hats are going to make a huge comeback. I'm already plotting what I'm going to wear when we actually are able to come out of the house again, for sure.
All right, so hopefully that'll be sooner rather than later. And stay safe, everybody. And Christine Cashin, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. Good luck, everybody. We got this.
All right, so I agree that there's no question it's such an adjustment for parents, for people working from home. It's really kind of changed things, where it's interesting to see pictures or video that sometimes people are posting of a spouse, and one's got the computer up in one area and the other one has the computer in another area. Don't talk to me! And just what you have to do, the whole idea of Zoom, you know, she mentioned Zoom, and I'm a huge believer in Zoom and have always used it, and I kind of was ahead of the curve on the whole Zoom thing, but now that everybody else is jumping on it, that creates that internet traffic too, so some people are having trouble with that. I know there's people listening in Alabama, and just like the school district in Texas with their K-12 schools closed through at least April 5th, they were scrambling to figure out, how do we keep students learning? What can we do? We got to figure this out and prevent the summer slide right away. So we got to do whatever we can. Worksheets, online resources. But here's what the problem is. In like Decatur City Schools, you've got 9,000 students who are there, right? And they're trying to figure out, what can we do on these campuses? And we're going to do this online learning, but what if they don't have internet? I mean, not all these families have internet. So they had, what they did was they ordered additional hotspots, you know, those Wi-Fi that could be turned on for families without internet
connectivity to connect about 2,500 families, which is great. So that gave them a chance to do that. And then they did everything they could in spring break, preparing lessons and got Chromebooks distributed and all of that, and tried to ramp up the virtual learning, certainly for the teachers, so that they were able to do that. And I'm sure there's been some crazy wrinkles in all of it, but they feel like it's challenging, but they feel like, you know, they're starting to get easier after a couple of weeks of doing that. And they've used Google Meet, which is an online platform for students and teachers, so they can see each other face-to-face. And how about that? And before, they had never given the students the access to that, but they had the Chromebooks, and so that's really changed what's happening now for kids of all different ages going to school at home, doing the online learning thing. And then, like I said, working from home for some people is tough because the whole idea of getting in a car, going to a place, putting on, you know, the work face, I call it, is different. You know, having that dedicated office space that you go to, whatever it is, even if it's a little corner of the world where you're in a cubicle, not having that is crazy for some people to try to figure out, how can I get used to this? How can I socialize with people? What do I do? And how do I get FaceTime with the boss? And what can I do? And I mean, first of all, number one thing is you got to be positive, right? Because everybody's adjusting to this. And I'm a big believer, although often I fall down on the job in this because I'm a speaker too. And I'm used to coming in and out, and I say this on the show, I'm either behind this microphone or another microphone on the stage, and that's created something different for me in not doing that. So I think coming up with a new morning routine where you sit down, you start at one time, or afternoon, whenever it is, and you just do it. You just do whatever it is you're going to do. And I think not wearing pajamas is probably good. I don't know. There's something about wearing pajamas and slippers that don't make you feel like you're working, or at least it doesn't make me feel like I'm in that frame of mind. And there have been some very funny things that have been posted on social media about that, about, you know, how odd it is, and are you slacking in other areas? Are you getting up and brushing your hair and brushing your teeth, for goodness sake? So it has been an adjustment for everyone, but we can get through this together. There's no question about that. We're better together. We're stronger together, and we're seeing some incredible things happen where people are reaching out to help other people. I've talked about that throughout the show and throughout so many others. Other shows that I've done since this has happened, and bravo to everybody who is stepping up and trying to combat that isolation, however it is, by reaching out to other people, by sewing face masks for health workers. That's happening in all kinds of places, by running and getting groceries for some of the older people in the neighborhood and leaving them on the porch and doing that for them, and running other little special errands when they cannot get out. All right, hang with us. We got a great storyteller coming up and a few other surprises as well. Meet you on the flip side.
I woke up this morning with the sun down shining in. I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then
shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now. Anyone in any walk of life
can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.